Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZT Podcast, where three friends coming together in order to go on patrol. As always, I am the robotic one, Zach, and joined with me is the negative one.
Oh god, my eyes are burning from those onions, Zach.
And the ambulance himself. Whoop, whoop. Welcome, guys. It's good to be back.
I just made some chicken chili, and I went to go taste it, and now the onions are burning my eyes.
I slept for 15 hours last night.
Yeah, you went on a fucking magical trip last night.
I was asleep.
I got home at like 9:30.
Yeah, you were gone all day.
Yeah, I was at my parents' house. But I come upstairs, I see your TV is like on the casting screen, but like the wallpaper version. And I was like, is he in there?
Just that was about hour
sticking
five.
Off the edge of the bed. And just slowly closed your door.
Yeah, that was about hour five.
Yeah, I told Zach, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go take a nap, then I'll play Rainbow Six with you. Out. Never to wake up.
Like, oh, okay, guess I'm... You'll be happy to know I got back into Stardew.
Yes.
I felt the itch you could come back. I'm like, I could go for some Stardew.
Oh, dude, let's
right
do
now.
Some multiplayer.
I just started on my single up farm though right now.
Okay.
I'm starting to build it. I'm only on like day eight, so I'm still, you know, that first year is all the building phase.
Yeah, but if you had two people,
I want to restart though.
All right. I could join you midway through.
Can you?
I think so. I don't know. Well, ask Brandon. He's done multiplayer Stardew.
I'm meeting my hero movies up on Best Buy.
Sweet. I need to start playing that new Existential Dread Stardew game that came out.
Well, Chucklefish is also released Wargroove, so I'm bouncing between that, Stardew, and Siege right now.
Oh, cool. I'm bouncing between Siege.
And Siege.
And having other hobbies, I think.
Kind of, when you're not sleeping for 15 hours.
It was so good.
Ooh, I can pre-order all Walmart also. Nice.
Crap, what was I going to say? Yeah, this week has been weird. I worked like 3 14-hour days, and then I was at a teaching conference all week, and god, it was so cool because it's just like conference, and then like the rock star of my English language arts world was speaking on Saturday. I'm like, I'm attentive.
I think I've essentially worked a six-day week because I've been working on this side project that I'm trying to get done. Like,
I won't say it because someone else will come up with it too at the same time.
I mean, it's something super special. It's my mom's website, but yeah, I'm proud of it.
You sell a drive, let's be real.
Yes. Someone else.
It's a side hustle.
Someone else.
If you hit the certain key command, the drug site pops up.
If you hold shift and type in cocaine.
If you do the Konami code, it actually takes you to a Stardew Valley website version of his mom's farm.
Yes. Yeah, I've been working on that a lot this weekend. Like, I was up until like 12:30 last night trying to solve a freaking problem. Like, I should not be doing what? No, it was something much more complicated. I'm like, I should not be doing this.
Aliens.
I should not be doing this.
Did you not hear about that? When Aliens Colonial Marines came out, the AI sucked was because they forgot one comma in the code. When people went in and put that comma in, it made the AIs a lot better.
Did you see that Axiom Verge released on it crashed the store?
Because the guy went in and removed everything related to Steam.
Just so searching Control F Steam.
Remove, yeah.
Jesus.
And his explanation was, yeah, I thought it would be good if I didn't include Steam's DLLs in the Epic Store version of the game. Little did I know, removed assets that broke the game, too. My bad.
So there's probably Steam in the game, but...
Yeah. He tried to help, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. All right, so, bouncing off to the start of our week, I try to organize the notes a little bit better. It's like, oh, here's all of our movie topics. Oh, here's all these topics.
Like how it used to be, and then it got deleted, and then we just were like, fuck it.
It went from when I did the notes, to Zach did the notes, to Zach doing the notes for a long time, and then I was like, I'll do the notes today.
I'll say you came down.
I requested it.
At like 11 o'clock, and like, I put these in the notes. Like, you already did notes?
Yeah.
Again, when you walked upstairs this morning, you just had the biggest smile on your face I've seen in like a few weeks.
Took
I'm like
a big poop. No, I didn't.
You looked reformed.
I looked awake.
You look reformed.
I was a drug addict that finally got off the cocaine.
Was the poop like 3 or 4 Keurigs or
no? But like,
that's South Park reference for all you out there.
I just never watched South Park.
They measure the world's biggest poop in Keurig.
I don't
like. I said that. Sleeping really helped. I think I need to do a better job at that. Yeah. Anyways, so first piece of news is that the Aquaman spinoff movie, The Trench, is in development. So according to the Hollywood Reporter, there is going to be an Aquaman spinoff film centered around the villainous monsters of the Trench. The film will reportedly take a horror-fueled tone, James Wan looking at you, and be set in the home realm of the Trench, and will carry a somewhat lower budget. Screenwriters Noah Gardner and Aidan Fitzgerald are reportedly penning the script. The principal cast of the Aquaman is not expected to appear in the film, and no release date has been reported. So it seems like WB is still kind of going with their stench of like, let's throw things at the wall, hopefully something sticks. And I think it's interesting that they're going to do like the Blumhouse approach of like, all right, let's do a slightly lower budget film, see what happens, because like that's Blumhouse's whole strategy. Like Glass had like a super small budget and made like 8 times its money in the box office, which is curious to me, just because like, how did they get James McAvoy, Samuel L. Jackson, and Bruce Willis on a film with such a small budget?
Shyamalan called in some favors.
Maybe.
Well, hey, Bruce Willis, you know how I launched your fucking career, essentially?
Hey, remember Sixth Sense and Unbreakable? I'm doing the third thing for that.
Sixth Sense wasn't in that trilogy, though.
Well, no, but
Unbreakable is.
Shyamalan directed Sixth Sense.
Yes.
Which the whole launch
The way you phrased it sounded like Sixth Sense. It was Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, then Glass.
Well, Sixth Sense takes place years after when they're all dead. So, you know, it's all I see dead people totally fits in.
They're all just a head in a box.
Completely different director.
That's Futurama. Head in the box.
Seven.
I know. Heads in the box.
Head in the jar is Futurama.
You know, I want to go back to sleep already. The next big thing, Kingsman, The Great Game, adds kick-ass actor and more. The 90s era Kingsman prequel, The Great Game, has added Aaron Taylor-Johnson as well as Quantum of Solace actress Gemma Arterton, according to Entertainment Weekly. This is the third film between Taylor-Johnson and Kingsman director Matthew Vaughn, who also worked together as star and director of Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2. Taylor-Johnson also played Quicksilver. Kingsman, The Great Game, little is known other than it's a prequel set in the 90s, and Eggsy will not appear.
Is this the start? Is this year the year of the 90s nostalgia? Because we got Captain Marvel. That's going to start doing 90s nostalgia. Like, maybe. Are we done with 80s already? Is it done?
I mean, they did Ready Player One already. Like, there's no other way to capture.
You combined all of the 80s.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing left out of that movie was Monty Python, and I was eternally grateful for that.
Yes, you were so grateful, we know.
Except, is the Holy Hand Grenade a Monty Python reference? Okay.
Holy it's when they use it to kill the killer rabbit.
Got it.
Prepare the Holy Hand Grenade.
See, I'm going to be terrible here. I always thought it was a Worms thing.
No, they got it from Monty Python, the Holy Grail, because they had to kill the rabbit.
I think I watched it once.
That movie
we watched it in college.
In the 60s. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that movie.
Well, good thing it's on Netflix. We can watch it again.
It's so fascinating to me that you hate that movie when it's pure British humor.
I know, which is just my genre of things, like the total dry sarcasm and just lowbrow humor. But it's like, it's what happened to me. Like, it just got so overhyped to the point I was just annoyed by it by the time I saw it.
That's why you gotta put the hype away when you watch it.
You just gotta go watch it. You don't need to.
You need to watch it with a negative thought process going in.
You would need to watch it by yourself originally. Like, I think what ruins it is when everybody's in the room just quoting it.
That's fair.
Yeah. It just annoys you.
I don't think I could watch with you because I'd have to quote probably half the movie.
Yeah.
Like the Frenchman on the castle.
Yeah. It's the first time watching it experience is like, okay, that's actually enjoyable. But when you watch it with people just making side commentary on it the whole time, then I can see why it would be annoying.
Yeah, and this goes back to other things that I missed. When my coworker came over and we watched Mean Girls, that was a great movie. I knew all the references, but that was great.
But you didn't know the context of them.
Exactly. Like
You needed the context of Hugo Glenn Coco.
I might have done that for our lollipop sales for Valentine's Day, where I just wrote.
Did you Glen Coco someone?
I wrote Glen Coco on one of the lollipops.
But you have to do three. Glen Coco got three. You go, Glen Coco.
Oh, my bad. I'll make sure I bully the seventh grader that sold me the lollipops.
And none for Gretchen Wieners.
Anyways, so that's cool. I wonder just...
I feel like after the second one, they're like trying to different things now.
Yeah.
Because it's like the second one was a bit underwhelming.
To you.
Well, you know that Kingsman isn't an original thing, right?
Well, yeah, I know it's a comic, but... Yeah.
But it's like...
Even then, it's like... I felt like the first... I don't know. Maybe it was just the... It played it so safe that it wasn't as entertaining as the first one.
I felt like Elton John got kind of old.
Yeah.
After like the third or fourth joke.
A little overplayed.
Yeah. Do you think this is like Mark Millar's like highest... Like most well-received adaptation? Because I can't really think of anything else.
I mean, he doesn't have... He only has like two.
Right. And he has his Netflix stuff coming out. But even Kick-Ass wasn't that critically acclaimed compared to Kingsman, I feel. Because, like, yeah. Kingsman's, like, the lighter version of John Wick, almost.
A little bit.
It's, like, really badass people, and then there's John Wick.
I felt what killed the second one is that the first one had the church scene that just came out of left field.
Right.
Like, you did not expect freaking Colin Firth to go on a massive rampage in that church. There was nothing like that in the second one, though. Like, you had your, like, big fight scene at the end, but that was about it.
Yeah. And I think what was it? One of the Kingsman... Spoilers for anyone that cares. Like, one of the fucking... Not Diego Luna.
Pedro
Pascal's character being, like, the bad guy. I'm like, oh, so we're doing the betrayal thing again, which Alfred was in the last film. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see where this one goes, because it might be, like, Eggsy's father... Or that whole group. I want to see Mark Strong come back, too, because he's just awesome.
It probably won't. If it's in the 90s, like, focusing on the Kingsmen, it probably won't have that much of Eggsy's father. Because he died when he was a recruit. Like,
right.
Before he even got brought into Kingsmen.
Okay. Mm.
That's why he died on their last, like...
Training.
Selection really. Mission.
Oh, yeah, he was the one who jumped on the suicide bomber. Yeah. Okay.
Jumped on the grenade and saved everyone else. Yeah. So that's why I think it was... Galahad became the Kingsman is because he was the last recruit.
And I do want them to explore more of that universe. Like, I know they did like one other comic that in that universe that wasn't written by Mark Millar.
Yeah, it was like the Red Diamond or something.
Yeah, because he's done a really great job about loaning out his properties now. It's like, here's my toys. Let's see what other people can do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I would kill for another Chrononauts. Especially if it's drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy again. Yeah.
I feel like that one could be a good movie.
Yeah. So, moving into TV. Former black actress... Black actress. Former Black Canary actress becomes Batwoman's big bad. Rachel Skartzen, formerly Black Canary on Birds of Prey, has joined the cast of Batwoman as Alice.
Is this the 2003 Birds of Prey?
Yes.
Oh, man.
So she is joined as Batwoman's primary antagonist and sister in the CW pilot. Skartzen will co-star opposite of Ruby Rose, who debuted in 2018's Elseworld Events. She has written on Instagram that I'm thrilled to announce my next adventure. It is very sweet. It is a very sweet homecoming for me, both to my favorite DC universe and beloved CW. Just call me Alice. Hollywood reports that if Batwoman had a Joker, it'd be Alice, the leader of her Lewis Carroll-inspired wonderful gang. Swinging unpredictably between maniacal and charming, Alice has made it her mission to undermine Gotham's sense of security. For those of you who don't know, Alice's real name in the comic books is Elizabeth Kane and the long-lost twin sister of Kate Kane. So yeah, thanks Newsarama. Batwoman's currently under pre-production. There we go. I don't know if it's like the last couple of different Batwoman runs, but I really want her to be facing like vampires and werewolves and not like
go super
normal
mystical.
People. Like
I mean, there were so many drugs involved. It felt like that anyway.
Well, I mean like a 52 when Greg Rucka made her, she's fairly grounded. She fought with Dick Grayson to do like some Gotham Criminal stuff. And then when Paul Dini did a run with her and she fought some of the mystical stuff, and then, you know, you got J.H. Williams and stuff. And then when you got to Mark and Greco, it was like Batwoman against vampires. And I'm like,
Okay.
I'm interested. Let's go. And then, like, you know, when she eventually got passed back to Tynan and Marguerite Bennett, it was very much like, she's fighting drug cartels. All right. Okay. Well. Hey, Steve. Is Batwoman in Supergirl's universe?
No. She's in Earth One.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Ollie's.
Yeah. The
Flareverse.
So she's in her own thing, then.
Well, I'm just trying to think, because
in the Flareverse, they're in a Gotham that doesn't have Batman.
Right.
Like, he's up and vanished.
Okay.
Dr. Manhattan.
So again, she's on her own Earth, then.
Yes. Well,
no. She's in on the Flareverse.
She's in the same Earth as
Ollie and Barry.
Okay. I thought you were referring to the Flareverse as the reversed one.
No.
Okay.
It's in the Arrow.
Okay.
Arrow Earth.
Yes.
Just because I know Maggie is in the Supergirl universe, right? She's the cop, chief, police.
I think that's right.
Steve's just he's stroking out.
Cannot find resource. Error 404.
Never finished season one.
I finished season one. I just never finished season two.
I think she is in
Because National I'm like... City. If you're going to do Batwoman, like, give us some Maggie. Give us some Renee. I know they're probably not going to do Renee because Birds of Prey. But it's like, you know, we can build up that Maggie and Kate Kane romance again.
Renee who?
Montoya.
Talk about Wild Dog?
No. She becomes the second question.
Yeah, she's a cop.
Okay, Renee she.
Yeah.
Because Wild Dog is also Renee.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not confusing.
Okay. Anyways. All right. Dude, they could bring in the question.
Yes. Do it. Bring in the question, bring in the Spectre, because fuck it, why not?
I wonder how close we are to doing the DC version of 52. We just need Animal Man, Booster.
All right.
They've already shown Animal Man.
Calling it now.
Did they?
Actually, no, that was Buona Beast.
Right.
Calling it now.
Back in time.
They do 52 with the Batwoman show at some point, if it lasts.
I mean, the next big event is Crisis on Infinite Earth, so... But Crisis on Infinite Earths, doesn't it lead into?
No.
No.
Infinite Crisis leads into 52. Infinite Crisis.
That's the infinite I was looking for.
Yeah. Silly DC. Seven crises.
Your crises and your Chris's and your infinites. And... Where are we watching though? Like the episode title was something like Crisis. And I was like, oh, Chris's.
I don't remember.
I think it was KO, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
It was the third episode because it's like, look, darkness in the third episode.
It's like, yeah, something Christ. It's like, oh, something Chris is.
Ow. I don't think I've ever headbutt my mic before.
That's a new one.
Okay. Miss Kobayashi, Steve.
Choo-choo-you.
This one's you.
My girls are coming back.
So
and my Fafnir.
The world needs more Connie-chan
in comicbook.com. If you've been waiting for more of Ms. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid to come around, then you're in luck. After extended rumors, it seems the anime is making good on a promise to bring season 2 to fans sooner than later. Social media lit up when an announcement page for Ms. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid was spotted. Moatron, I had to say it correctly, news shared the image, which can be found below as it confirms an order for a new season. The announcement appears to have come along with the release of the series' most recent volume. Japan saw volume 8 of Ms. Kobayashi's Dragon Maid hit shelves, and the publication brought good news for fans. So far, there is no word on when the second season will air. There are no updates on which studio will produce the series, but netizens are crossing their fingers that season 2 doesn't mess with the series' magic. Kyoto Animation helped launch the comedic title to worldwide fame back in 2017, so it would only be right for the heralded studio to bring Toru and Kana Kamui back to the small screen. And then comicbook.com asks me what I thought of the announcement, so I'm going to turn that to you, Steve.
My girls are coming back. I get my girls. And my Fafnir, who is essentially a neat.
What?
A neat.
A neat.
A shut-in.
It's like a Japanese term for someone who has graduated from high school and now spends their entire life sitting in their house or room just playing games and reading manga and being a weeb.
Oh my god, that's the dream.
It is, but...
Except it's like they literally don't interact with anyone outside of themselves. I know, it's... I know, I'm telling... Being introverts, that doesn't sound like a
only,
horrible thing,
the only
but...
person interaction they have is talking in MMOs. I know.
I would never live
it's
that
the
life.
Dream.
I'm too much of a... I hate sitting at home for too long to actually do anything like that. Zach, probably. You would be fine.
It would take me longer to go stir crazy.
Yeah. Steve, are you a Fafnir?
I would love to be, but again, I'd go stir crazy after a while. Like those times I've taken like a week vacation, and then like by Thursday, I'm like, I'm ready to go back to work. I need interaction again.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool that this is coming, and I wonder if it gives hope to other, like, limited anime to go back out and do things. Like, I would love for New Game to come back. You know, they
Where
never did the high school arc.
Season 3.
Did you ever see Clifford Chapin's post?
No.
He said if there was one thing he hoped for 2019, it was a season 3 of New Game. Yes. Since he was the one who directed the English dub.
It's so pure. Like, again... Season 3 is the prequel.
It is the definition of moe. Cute girls doing cute things.
Yeah, look at Kaon. Fa-fa time.
I told you I found all of the music from the show on Spotify.
Yeah, I need
to... It was a glorious day.
I need to go, like, buy the album or something. I just have, like, the hour-and-a-half-long YouTube.
You gotta look up the actual groups, and I think you'll find them.
Yeah. Alright, speaking of other cool things, Doom Patrol! 30-second trailer for a show that comes out on Friday. I'm excited. So apparently the Justice League has disappeared. That's why Cyborg has gone to the B-team.
Huh.
And that's why Doom Patrol's around. And
it's not the same actor, though, is it?
No, it's...
It's the DC Universe version of the Justice League.
Okay.
And no, it's... Oh, wait, what do you mean DC Universe?
Like... The DC, the DC universe world of the, I don't know how to describe it.
It's the Flaroverse version of the DC.
No, they're not
universe.
In Flaro.
No, but I mean like how you have like there's TV Barry Allen,
right?
And there's movie Barry Allen.
So it's the DCU, DCU. The DC Universe is DC Universe.
It's the DCU, DCEU.
The DC
Universe,
oh
DC
God.
Entertainment Universe.
The DC Subscription Service Universe.
The DC SSU.
Dixu.
Add Jeff Johns. Dixu. Can we get a good name for this?
So I think I need to watch, I think, episode 4 of Titans. To get like the Doom Patrol backdoor pilot going through. But I'm so excited just because it captures a lot of the things that I like about the Gerard Way, Grant Morrison version of these characters. Like, I hated the fact that at some point someone decided, no, the Doom Patrol must be taken seriously. This is our... No, Doom Patrol came before X-Men. Yeah.
I'd say Doom Patrol's closer like the Fantastic Four.
No, the Doom Patrol actually came out before X-Men, and X-Men had characters that were similar to the Doom Patrol at that point.
Right, but I'm more thinking of, like, they have the Elastic character, they have the big, strong...
Robot character.
Yeah, material character.
Metal
or rock.
Yeah.
They have the character who can essentially fly around with Negative Man.
Well, I was going to say that...
He's like a powered like fly around person.
Yeah. I can't remember which was which. I know that the Doom Patrol actually shared the same character origin as I think the Fantastic Four. I just don't remember which came first. But anyways, I'm really excited just because they have that really cool cast of characters. And they have Crazy Jane, who's going to adopt all 100 plus of her personalities. And it's played by the leading character from Orphan Black, who had to play 10 different iterations of the same character.
But let's be real. Brendan Fraser is Robot Man.
I'm so excited.
Brendan Fraser.
My George of the Jungle's back.
Is Robot Man.
And they just look perfect. And then they displayed a Mr. Nobody, who's like Doom Patrol's huge antagonist during the Gerard Way run. And I'm like, okay, how are you going to do essentially what is a scribble mark? And it shows Alan Tudyk kind of like CG'd in this weird space with the black flashing in and out on him.
And Timothy Dalton is their Professor X.
Hence Timothy the X-Men. Dalton.
God. He's the guy in the wheelchair. And when you equate guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah. I can't wait. Just because it's like, as goofy as it was when Young Justice did Doom Patrol go.
Time to go die.
Oh, your mom died. That sucks.
And then I had the Teen Titans Go cast voicing the Doom amazing. Patrol.
I'm just really excited. I've never really met anyone that likes the Doom Patrol as much as I do. But we get freaking... They're going for it. Like, it's like, yep, Danny the Street's going to be there, and he's going to cross-dress. And I'm like, oh my god. What?
Do you think, like, his last appearance in the show is going to be him turning into a brick?
Or an ambulance? Like, oh my god, freaking Young Justice had Casey Brink and Sam. Like, I just did not expect that either. Like, it's just so perfect that Doom Patrol exists in this time, and they've gotten the resurgence. If only Gerard Way got a co-writer so the story could come out.
All thanks to the Black Parade.
Did you see Dan Slott actually has a co-writer on Iron Man now because issues keep getting delayed?
No.
Guess whose co-writer is?
Gerard Way?
No.
Damn it.
Another great
Chip
Marvel.
Chip Zdarsky.
I would actually like that. Someone that you read, Steve. So think about all one of your Marvel titles. Steve Toddy.exe has shut down.
You're just like crashing this.
Who writes Steve's Champions, file. Steve?
Champions.
Like Mark Waid?
Currently? Or
yeah.
Who is currently writing?
All right, it's Jim Zub.
Okay, there you go.
And I love Jim Zub. He's such a fantastic writer.
We've been over this. You can't quiz me on writers and artists. I think, ooh, that writing's nice. Ooh, that art's pretty. Done.
Meanwhile, I'm like, ooh, I like this writer, and I like this writer, and I'm going to read anything this writer writes. Like,
ooh, this person did pencils on this. I'm going to read it.
Fucking yeah. Steve Orlando doing Namesake, which is a sci-fi fantasy version of Brigadoon.
Is Namesake still going on?
No. It was only 4 issues.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking of Birthright.
So you got a fangirl again to Steve Orlando at DCC again?
I still write everything you write.
Just like I'm going to fangirl so hard with Justin Briner. My baby boy, who is older than me in real life, but doesn't
can you sign my card captor Sakura things?
As one of the gays.
As the gay angel in my life.
The gay angel, if you will.
All right. So, also, this week on conflict.com, Star Wars Episode 9 leaked photos reveal potential spoilers.
Whoa.
AKA, people saw costumes.
Then why ever go see the fucking movie?
Yeah, so apparently there's a new droid that's gonna annoy BB-8. Ooh. You remember when everyone thought the black BB-8 was gonna be like
the antagonist, a mega BB-8?
Yeah. Mega 8.
And then nothing happened.
It was just like, it's in one scene.
BB negative 8.
There's also, so Richard E. Grant's gonna be a character in the series. Dominic Morgan's gonna be a character. Or Monahan. There's going to be young Mon Calamari. He doesn't look red. He looks
I pray that they are more on the calamari side as children, like just little tiny baby squids.
No, not quite.
That eventually will grow into Admiral Ackbar's.
The couple of big things that happened, though, is that there's old Lando in his resistance outfit.
Billy D?
It's still Lando wearing yellow and a cape.
Billy D?
He's already confirmed to be in the movie.
I didn't see that.
Billy D?
I don't pay attention to shit like that.
Do you don't have Star Wars news alerts?
No, I don't.
Fucking nerd. Who does that?
Do you think that scene where they like swap between like a quick flashback, like flash by, and it'll be Billy D, then Donald Glover, then back to Billy D?
You also have hooded Kylo Ren, so he's gone even more emo now. He also has a new helmet that's been repaired.
It's still not a face.
So now he gets to be the hoodie emo kid.
Now the question is, how square will he be in this one?
I hope super square. Like, like diamond almost.
He just rolls into a box. You must fight me. I can't really move that well as a box, but.
And the last big thing is Rey has a new outfit, and she's wearing all white, which is different from her dark gray outfit in Last Jedi and her beige.
She's like progressively
outfit.
Going.
And it's a contrast to Kylo Ren's all emo black.
Did you? She didn't lose her lightsaber, did she?
Yes.
She did?
It broke in half.
Fucking lights, white Best sabers.
Oh, white sabers.
If they, oh, man, no. See, I was gonna say, yeah, what if they somehow sneak in Ahsoka?
I was gonna say, like, white.
She's probably old as fuck or dead at this point.
Nah, probably just old as fuck.
Because yeah. She was adult during Rebels.
Yeah, she was probably like what, late 40s or something.
She was in her 30s in Rebels. Again, Revenge of the Sith to Rebels wasn't that big of a timeline jump. Granted. End of Revenge of the Sith to. No, she would have to be. She was a teenager.
Because Rebels.
Clone
led,
Wars.
I think she was around like 24 at the
Rogue
end of
One.
Yeah.
Which Rogue One was the very end of A New Hope.
And they show in the epilogue of Rebels, they show everyone going out to go find Ezra, I think after Empire gets defeated. So that's when she comes back as Ahsoka the White.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they have enough time to be like, hey, do you remember this character we're introducing?
He's so fucking
great.
Ah, he's so fucking
great. You're not Greg Weisman.
Pull a Kingdom Hearts and just, like, and character from the one of the DS games. Like, here's a character from the mobile game.
Here's a flashback sequence of these characters you haven't seen all game.
Tim Geddes made such a good point. He's just like, yeah, none of the dialogue makes sense if you haven't played any of the other Kingdom Hearts games.
That is a point for later.
I feel my favorite thing is Matt Bragg saying it's like, yeah, if you just want to play a game, go for it. But if you want to understand the story,
good.
Here's a 33-minute YouTube video. Did you watch it? Yeah. Do you understand the story?
Nope.
Not really.
It's a point later.
Your rider fell over. She knocked over Ruby.
That took surprisingly long, I'm not going to lie. She's also, like fucking warped or something.
I'm still surprised, after 2 years of living in this house, you still have not found the change.
Why did you do that to him? Ah, yes, my favorite show.
Arbwee.
I just pointed it out for you.
Yes. Arbwee. 2 years. Like, every time I've walked by the bookcase, I'm like, still hasn't noticed.
He doesn't look at the bookshelf.
He doesn't, but
I haven't looked at it in a while.
He's been sitting next to it every week now.
Did you notice there's a TV behind you?
Yes, that I noticed. Okay. That's not hard to miss.
Well, then.
2 years.
Old man Lando. Okay, cool. So that's all the Star Wars stuff. New movie coming soon, hopefully.
I think I changed that at like the housewarming party.
Oh, my God.
Because Jim and I were trying to figure out a way to fuck with you with us.
Never
ends. Steve, tell me about Tommy Wiseau.
No, I put that on there.
Oh, Zach, tell me about Tommy Wiseau.
He has a new movie. It's called Big Shock.
Big Shark, for
Big
those of you wondering.
I'm saying it like Tommy Wiseau would say. It's Big Shock.
He's done other movies, right?
He tried to make an legitimate comedy after The Room, and he accepted it. Like, oh yeah, it was totally a comedy. No, it wasn't. He just unintentionally made a comedy.
Didn't he reunite with not DeFranco?
Yeah, Greg Sestero, I think, is his name.
Okay.
So it's him. It's Tommy Wiseau. Greg Sestero and some other guy. I think he also was part of the Room cast.
Seth Rogen?
No.
No.
Not the biopic.
I'm just going with those characters.
But it's like, my guess is it's going to be like he's trying to do Sharknado, because the trailer is like just ridiculous. And
oh, what
like,
if
okay.
it's Sharknado combined with the Meg?
That's what I imagine.
God.
But, like, the trailer, like, the last, like, 15 seconds of it, Tommy Wiseau just yelling, going, ah, so I'm like, all right, he's actually trying to make a comedy again, so we'll see if this is actually good.
Are you going to be out there opening day?
Probably not opening day, but I will see it.
Okay.
Just for the sake to see if, like, all right, can he actually do it now? Or was it just, was the Room just, like, his lightning in a bottle that he'll never be able to recreate?
Yeah. One of the things I forgot to put in the notes, but I watched the trailer to Pet Sematary today.
It's fucking that shit.
It's fucking terrifying.
Fuck the original.
I saw one clip of it. I'm like, no, I'm not watching this.
Fuck the original Pet Sematary. Fuck this remake, because it looks like they're going straight for a remake of the old one, not like trying to change anything. And fuck that.
Well, I mean, the original was actually really close to the book, right, too.
Fuck that.
And I think the one change, they said that the daughter gets run over instead. I don't remember.
Well, it was their...
The son got run over in the original.
Yeah, it was their youngest child.
Yeah.
And that's why it was so devastating and even more creepy that there was a killer toddler on the loose.
Yeah.
Do you know how many nooks and crannies they could fit in? All of them.
Stand on top of the counter. You'll be safe.
Do you see the Did you see the redoing Chucky?
Yeah, it looks fucking amazing.
So like, you say fuck to... Like, fuck no, I'm not going to watch this.
Oh, no, I'm still going to go see Pet Sematary. Same time, fuck whoever decided to do it, because that movie traumatized me for a little bit.
So, Zach, you have a choice. Pet Sematary or us.
Don't do this to me.
Pet Sematary or us.
Do you want to not trust yourself, or do you not want to trust toddlers?
Or semi-trucks.
See, my family...
Well, no.
A lot of my extended family's starting to have kids now, so toddlers are going to be a fucking nightmare.
No, let's be real. In Pet Sematary, Truck Coon was the unsung hero there for a second. But yeah, no. Pet Sematary will make you mistrust toddlers for a while. I'm not even joking. The old man went into his house, and all you hear is... And then suddenly, Achilles tendon, ka-da! From under the bed.
I don't want to imagine my dead pets, though, coming back to haunt me.
Well, no, it's not...
It's only one dead pet.
It's only their cat that comes back.
Oh.
And then they kill it. And then genius dad's like, my dead toddler. Let's bury him in where the evil cat came from.
Because the Pet Sematary was a...
Like, Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
Of course it was. Is that what started the whole Indian burial ground trend?
No, that was Poltergeist.
I remember that from Family Guy. This one, Family Guy was good. That's besides the point. But,
yeah. We're not here to talk about that.
I just went on a streak of watching trailers before leaving to my parents' house, and I was just like, man, there's so many good movies coming out. And I think Black Klansman just came out on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on digital.
We also should watch...
Should watch that.
Sorry to Bother You, just because...
Yeah, I've heard that one's... Even though we know the giant fucking twist.
Because someone spoiled it for us.
Yeah, I just... That came out of just like you know when you play baseball and you hit something out in the left field? Yeah, it was actually like in the next stadium over there where they kicked
field goals. It was a completely different game, and the ball still was in play.
It was that threw me for such a loop when I watched it. I'm like, the fuck am I watching? Excuse me? It's the Pikachu shocked face. It's like, I thought this was about like... You know, commentary like on industrialism and society and race.
Social construct.
Yeah, it definitely was a commentary.
What that commentary was.
Oh my god, has Tim seen it? Oh my god, Tim needs to see this movie.
Don't spoil it for him.
Like,
Tim, just watch Sorry to Bother You. Preferably...
It's on Hulu.
Preferably not with kids in the room.
Yeah, don't watch it with your kids or whatever. But Tim, oh my god, you need to see this movie just because of long-running ZT mythology at this point. Holy shit.
It plays right into it.
Okay. And the last thing is Steve's movie adventure. What happened,
so,
Steve?
I went to go see a movie today. The title of this movie was I Want to Eat Your Pancreas.
Oh god, you saw that?
It destroyed me. So Zach, what do you think I Want to Eat Your Pancreas is about?
It's a cancer love story.
Kind of.
Okay.
They never say pancreatic cancer.
Am I winning? Zach, what is it about?
I have no idea. Actually, I just know that it was a thing.
I just think, like, I imagine I Want to Eat Your Pancreas, like, what was it, heart-shaped box? Like, I want to eat your cancer.
You're not that far off, actually.
I honestly thought, like, zombie romance story or something.
You think. Way the fuck off base on that one.
Oh, okay.
Has nothing to do with zombies or cannibalism or anything.
Ha!
So... It is a, it's a romance story, but they don't focus on the romance aspect of it. In fact, the words "I love you" are never said
in the whole movie. Oh, it's just like my childhood.
But
God,
Jesus fucking Christ! Do I need to go talk to your parents?
No, we're good.
Do I need to tell your mother what you just said?
No, that'll just create more problems than solve.
I couldn't even hold the face.
Anywho, we're gonna take a step back in the way back machine here. Let Zach collect himself.
Just go. I'm crying. So I've never loved.
Like, Jesus Christ, Zach. Control yourself, man. Jesus.
So pancreas, right?
Oh my God. Just took a good moment and just shat all over it. Fuck, dude. Are you okay in there? You still crying?
Yes. That's a yes. Continue.
All right. So anyway, it is kind of a romantic story about a girl who has a pancreatic disease,
not cancer, but just
because there are other diseases that could affect the pancreas. And
cancer's too easy.
But pretty much, the sad thing is anything that goes after the pancreas is pretty much a death sentence. Pancreatic cancer, most diseases, there's no curing it. So she's going to die. And she knows she's going to die.
Of course.
And starts writing a diary about living her life, knowing she's going to die, but not telling any of her friends.
Wow.
Because she doesn't want them to change their life around. And the way she puts it is, when her parents found out, they started trying to treat everything like everything was fine. That she wasn't going to die, nothing was wrong. And that made her feel distant from her parents. She didn't want her friends to feel the same way. So she's kept the secret. But the protagonist, who is just shut off from everyone, he doesn't talk to people on purpose. He even says his hobby is imagining what people think about him. And most of the time,
it's
negative, so he just doesn't talk to people.
That's next level introvert and social anxiety.
Yeah.
It's actually what Us is about. It's the perceived notion of what this family is. A bunch of murderers.
God.
Anyways, keep going.
But he finds her diary at the hospital, and she decides just through the interaction that he will be the only person to know her secret. And that he is going to help her, you know, cross things off her bucket list and be her friend until she dies. And it sounds weird, but oh my God.
And then he, you know, he realizes he can care for someone.
That's the whole, like, her whole journey with him is, like, you know, you can talk to people. Like, when I die, I want you to be friends with my friend because you're both nice people. And it's just all of, like, this whole journey through her bucket list and knowing she's gonna die. And you know, it's fine. I was like, oh, happy, upbeat, like, yeah, they're just having fun, living life. And then the drama spike happens and you're like, cool, let's buckle in here, kiddos, because the feels train is on its way.
Pull out your tissues. Oh, get God. Ready.
I cried so much at the last half of the movie. So much. And yeah, I don't want to give away the end because it's a lot better.
It's when the zombie overlords overtake.
No. But it's a very powerful ending of the movie. Like the last half hour, 45 minutes is just so emotional and strong that you need to watch it. But do you know why it's called I Want to Eat Your Pancreas?
He gives up his own life to save her.
No.
No.
I want to see the Japanese translation.
No, it's straight up, I want to eat your pancreas.
Huh.
Instead of saying, I love you, he says that instead.
You're close on that.
He's holding her pancreas in his mouth, claiming that it's a metaphor.
All right, so you're never going to guess it. So I'm just going to, instead of going through all of these guessing games, in old Japanese culture, they used to believe if you had a disease in an organ, that if you ate another organ, it would cleanse it.
Ah.
So you had a stomach problem, you'd eat stomach. And that would cleanse your stomach. So by saying, I won't eat your pancreas, it's, if I eat your pancreas, like, it starts out as a joke because she watched a program about it and jokes with him, like, I want to eat your pancreas so mine gets cleansed. But it also, they talk later, like, it also became a term of when someone dies, if you eat their organs, their soul lives on through you. So it becomes like their kind of like term of endearment also.
That's what it's called. It's a
historic cannibalism?
No, animalism. It's an actual historic term. Or not a historic term, it's a socialized thing I used to teach. Anyways.
Okay.
So it becomes like their term. Because I don't know, it's hard to explain the whole movie because it's so deep in the relationship between them of what this phrase means to them that you need to go see the movie. It's a very small cast, too. There are maybe 5 voice actors through the whole movie, like main voice actors through the whole movie.
Wow.
And only 2 real main characters. But the dub was fantastic. I haven't watched the sub, but it's great. I know I'm riding a high right now, so I can't say it's one of the best animated movies ever. But
better at this point, or about equal to Your Name?
Your Name holds a special place, so I can't put it higher than that, but it's up there.
I was going to say, you've been going on a huge, not necessarily a huge binge, but you've been doing a really great job at seeing like full-length animated features as of late.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think it was Your Name that kind of kickstarted it of like, oh, there's more to anime movies than Dragon Ball Z and Shonen anime movies.
I feel like they just started to release more of them over in the West, like as a whole. Like, I felt like the movies were more kind of just like very limited things, and now they're like, they're actually doing more showings.
Like, I feel almost as though for the longest time, what we had to grow up with was Shonen movies and Summer Wars.
We didn't have Summer Wars for a while
either. Yeah, like the mid-2000s.
But that was what we had. You ran around. I ran around. We all ran around.
Yeah. Stephen Phillips, 2019. There's more to anime movies than shonen.
Can I get that on a pillow?
But don't get me wrong. I'll still watch the fuck out of a shonen movie. Give me the My Hero movie, Dragon Ball Z, 7 Deadly Sins movie. Fuck yeah. The X-Men's are always over the top on those.
The inevitable Black Clover movie.
Dude, Code Geass dub comes out in March.
You guys realize that we missed both seasons of Fooly Cooly already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't that long.
I'm just kind of sitting there.
The original Fooly Cooly wasn't long either.
Yeah, so. But I'm just sitting there thinking, like, everything that I've known and loved in my 90s anime nostalgia has come back in some point.
It's the mid-2000s.
Or, you know what I mean. Like, Dragon Ball Z came back, Sailor Moon came back, Digimon is back, Pokemon will never die.
Yeah, I saw a weird thing. Like, I looked up, I was curious on, like, what the longest Dragon Ball Z arc was. It was the Freeze arc, by the way.
I was going to say.
The Namek. Namek Cell, then Universal Survival.
Well, I mean, even the Namek Saga, you can divide into smaller chunks.
Well, yeah, no, they even did that. It was the Namek Saga, or the Ginyu Saga, and then the Frieza Saga. And then even the Cell Saga. It was
the Cell Games.
It was Androids, then Cell, then the Cell Games. But we got Dragon Ball Z 30 years after it aired in Japan. Dragon Ball Z.
What the fuck? It was out that long?
Well, Dragon Ball,
I think it was 30 years.
That doesn't seem right.
Maybe 20 years. Either way, it was a long fucking time between Japan airing it and us getting it.
It's like when we look fondly back at Sky High, and it's like, you were 20 years ago. Danielle Panabaker is now a different superhero.
Stop that. I don't want to think about
those things. We could have got the sequel called Save You. Save University. Xenon is also 20 years old, Zach. Zoom, zoom, zoom. You make my heart go boom,
stop.
Boom, boom.
Just stop.
Did you watch the newest Debatable yet?
No, I haven't watched any of it.
the newest one is Tim Geddes, Johnny Ace, and I can't remember who the third person was, but they're ranking the top 10 Disney Channel original movies. And I'm so excited just because I'm like, Brink better be on the fucking list. Xenon better be on that list. Luck of the Irish, hit or miss.
Dude, Luck of the Irish was amazing. That fucking Lassiter from Psych in it as a bad guy.
But top 10?
I'd put it up there.
But like,
let's be real. Xenon was the really only that good Xenon movie. Z2 was all right. Z3 was...
And then what's the cooking one?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Cook-Off or Bake-Off?
I think it was Cook-Off.
Might have been Cook-Off. But yeah, he made fried chicken with Fruit Loops, dog.
Yeah. And it's just like, just sitting there thinking about all these Disney Channel original films, I'm just like, but nothing can beat Brink. Like, Brink was the original You Got Served. No, it wasn't.
No. But then you also have Johnny Tsunami.
Yeah, that's true.
That was like...
It was Homecoming Warrior?
Yeah. It was Johnny Tsunami and fucking Rocket Power that wanted me to learn how to snowboard when I still lived in Arizona.
Johnny Tsunami, then Johnny Tsunami Rides Again, I think.
There's a third one.
I don't know. Johnny Tsunami Back on Board.
There's the third one where they go mountain boarding instead.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. Anyways, gaming news. Steve, you recently played Apex Legends with our dear friend Brandon.
No.
No, you haven't actually played
with him? I haven't played with
him yet. No. Brandon, you suck.
Because he plays on PC like a fucking nerd. And the one time I ask him, no, I'm going out to some taco festival or whatever.
Yeah, we asked him to play Siege today and he said no.
Yeah, it's fun. It's another battle royale, but I think I might like this one better because of the ability aspect.
It looks closer to Blackout more than anything.
Well, I mean, it's developed by Respawn. So, former Call of Duty.
Yeah, I mean, it still has that Titanfall very fast pace.
And then this is the second battle royale that's a hero class shooter, right? Behind a
Paladins?
Realm Royale.
Realm Royale.
Yeah, Paladins got Battle Royale got converted into Realm Royale. Didn't Realm Royale have like classes?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's the Shield Hero, the Wheel one, the Teleporty one, you know, the Reaper one.
Don't You're start talking about this. Paladins.
I'm just joking. But... Alright, so what makes Apex so different from all the other... I saw that they have Respawn, actually. There's a little
there
Respawn.
There is a Respawn ability to it. So when your teammate dies for I think it's like a minute and a half, you can go up to their crate, like their drop stuff, and pick up their card essentially. And then if you take that to an active respawn point on the map, which there aren't that many, they're just here and there on the map, you can respawn your teammate, but they essentially start the game fresh. So they don't have their gear, they don't have their abilities charged up. Which it's nice if you can respawn them. Like the game I was in, I was respawned close ish to my gear that I could run up to it and grab everything and act like nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up winning that game. Fuck yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I watched Lannan play it with Lachlan and Muzelk. And it was really interesting to, you know, paid promotion game. You know, he admits it in the first 5 minutes of the video. But just seeing the difference between... He was mentioning how it was very Call of Duty-esque.
Yes.
And at one point when they respawned in the storm. So they jumped out, and they're in the orange. And by the time he gets out, he's already at, like, half health. Yes. It's like, well, that was interesting.
I don't know. I like how... I had fun with Fortnite, but that kind of... served its purpose with me, like scratch 11
year olds got too much of you.
I think the problem with Fortnite is like if you didn't get into it like early on, it's like almost impossible to have like a decent time because everyone could build the fucking Empire State Building in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I think what also got me more onto Apex was I loved playing Titanfall, and it's just Titanfall essentially with classes and abilities. Like mine is the more defensive character. Like I can throw a bubble shield, but then my ult is calling in a mortar strike.
And let's all point out that I was right last week where I said Titanfall 3 was getting canceled.
Well, it was weird because it was like the devs like, no, we're not working on Titanfall 3. This is what we're working on. And then it's like, oh, I guess that's it. It's canceled now then.
Yeah.
Then, well, you know, I wonder if the EA was like waiting. It's like, are they going to admit it? Are they saying it's canceled?
And I think it's kind of cool that, you know, as much of a shame as Titanfall 3 is, it doesn't exist.
I mean, it doesn't exist right now.
Apex being what a lot of people speculated to be the Titanfall without the mech shooter. Like, you know, just reuse all those assets. And again, it's following that brilliancy of Fortnite where it's a free-to-play game. So it's just, you know, all access. People can easily get to it no matter what console they're on.
Well, and I do like how they have kind of a story behind it. Like, it's not the most in-depth, like, lore-based story.
It's kind of like how Overwatch was at the start. Yeah, it's like very lore-light, but it's there.
We live in a future world where, like, the big sport is... It's essentially Running Man, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. So there was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie called Running Man, where they would take average people and put them in, like, this labyrinth where they had to fight, like, celebrity commando warriors. And if you survived, you won, but most people didn't. It was called The Running Man. But that's kind of what this is. It's a, like, the next big sporting event, like, instead of the NFL or soccer or anything like that, is you watch these heroes to people, quote-unquote heroes, but, like, these warriors get dropped on this island and fight to be the last surviving squad.
So it's like, what was that Gerard Butler movie? Gamer.
No, not really. Because
Gamer was more like the next evolution of esports.
And it was like, the whole thing was a ploy to just, like, kill prisoners. Because it's like, all right, all these prisoners, you're controlling them, and you don't know it, and they're really killing each other.
I thought they did know it.
The
prisoners knew.
Yeah, the prisoners knew.
Okay.
Like, but they made them a deal of, if your controller wins, you go free.
Yeah. That was the whole point of the movie.
Death race.
A little bit.
Pretty much,
okay.
Yeah.
I just had to equate actually, movies
yeah, it
to
is exactly.
And,
like
and then Sean and Jules from Psych were the commentators.
Oh.
And Dexter was the bad villain who ran the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should I watch that movie?
Gamer?
Yeah.
If you're looking for something to watch, it's a fun
dumb
popcorn movie.
Yeah, it's a dumb action movie.
I've been looking for a fun popcorn movie.
You get Gerard Butler doing some, like, Tai Chi disco moves because the kid controlling it. It's essentially like the G Gundam controlling suits. Like, you get in a canister and all of your motions control.
Imagine it's kind of like Shazam of how a 12-year-old is inhabiting this jacked dude.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I can't remember the last time I watched a dumb, fun popcorn movie. Probably like the last Fast movie. Or maybe because my diet, I just don't eat an entire bucket of popcorn anymore. But, like, I saw Glass, and I really wanted that to be a good movie. It was okay. I think Lego Movie comes out soon.
Yeah.
It came out this weekend.
Shit, and I'm going to go see fucking Happy Death Day to You this weekend.
What? You're going to go see that without me?
I'm going to go with my coworker for his birthday. You want to go watch a Lego movie this weekend?
Maybe.
Okay. I think Kayla might be coming too. I don't know. Anyways. But, yeah. You can go on our Valentine's Day date.
Yes, there it is. There's the scene.
See you showing me? Yes. He is doing the dance. But let's be... Okay. And one thing I will also credit Fortnite, besides creating this free player-based model kit that, like, you know, ease of access to the world, they have taught middle school kids that they don't need to embarrass themselves at dances because everyone's already embarrassed. Like, I can't...
You can't be the kid doing the floss terribly when everyone is flossing terribly.
I honestly cannot wait for this middle school dance to come up because Fortnite wasn't as big last year with a lot of my kids. It was a lot of PUBG still. But now, you know, when kids are doing Fortnite dances in the hallway, I can't wait to see what they do in a school gym where boys stand on one side and girls stand on the other.
But for real, what? Like, the Fortnite dances have taken over. any sporting event where they're like, all right, dance cam, let's go to these kids. It's the floss. Cool. Let's go to this kid. Orange Justice.
It's the shoe.
There's other dances, kids.
Dancing is not dabbing is not dancing.
Back in my day, we did the white guy dance of just snapping our fingers and just kind of sliding to the side.
Ah, the hitch.
Yes. That was the God gave white people that dance because they felt bad for us. It's like, well, my parents and I, we watched that Ellen's Game of Games, Ellen DeGeneres' game show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one that they blindfold people and they have to dance around until the music stops and then look for still essentially blindfolded musical chairs with piston powered chairs that come up every now and again. They're not like pistoning.
Not
up
like the Ass Pounder 5000.
No, it's or Ass Blaster. They push a button, then a stool comes up and they can sit on it, but it's a flat floor otherwise. But I was talking to my parents, like, if I were to get on that show and be on this game, everyone else is like doing these wild moves. Someone's dabbing for dancing because fuck them. Someone's doing ballet. And I'm like, I'd be the white guy just doing the white guy shuffle in the corner until the music stops. I'd be so boring. Just like, I'm dancing because I'm a white guy who has no rhythm.
I would just T-pose to establish dominance.
They're all blindfolded. Like, I sense someone's T-posing. I gotta back the fuck up.
Just radiating energy.
Actually, speaking of, with Apex being free to play, I actually saw a report, like, apparently because a bunch of, like, investor reports and calls were going on this week for developers. A lot of people a lot of analysts are speculating that there's going to be a lot more free to play games coming out again because, like, profits were not as good for, like, big projects as expected. Like, they were still good.
Shit. But EA was right.
But yeah, like apparently, like the video game market's like doing is like stable, but it's not growing like it has been. So a lot of course, that means like things are gonna get like people are getting laid off at Blizzard in this week, or like
but
it's
hey,
rumored
the CEO of EA or of Activision is making $80 million a year. But goddamn, we need to lay off a few hundred people.
And you know what? In the 5 years EA has owned the Star Wars license, they've managed to make two games.
I will give EA credit with Anthem, though. They released their future like downloadable content. Not one piece of it is pay to play. It is all free.
Do you think it's updates. Just because like they shit the bed so hard with Battlefront?
Well, yeah, they had lost. To learn that lesson.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think EA kind of like side-eyed Activision, Bungie, and be like, okay, we should be closer to this. Like, they're retaining their player base after a game that's been out for almost a decade.
Yeah.
With Destiny.
Also, okay, I'm going to call out Tim here for a second. But I saw a comment about the Blizzard layoffs where he's like, Blizzard should split from Activision. Tim, I want to know how the fuck they would do that. Like, what funding are they going to have to feasibly do that? Bungie at least had that 100 mil from NetEase. Like, I don't know how they do that.
They just tell everyone to take a month off, then bring in all of the month subscriptions, and then use that as their nest egg.
Did you see fucking Red Shirt Guy? That's his name now, Red Shirt Guy from the BlizzCon.
Red Douche.
Yeah, he was actually like, he did an AMA on Reddit.
Oh my god.
And he kind of like, yeah, Diablo Immortals isn't bad. It's, you know, I wouldn't play it on my phone or anything. And he even admits he was like the mobile guy who downloads five games, plays two of them. And like, I don't know, like with Blizzard Activision, you know, they have at this point,
it's so intertwined.
So hard. Because think about it, it's like, okay, they need to maintain all the server space for WoW. They need to maintain servers for Overwatch. They need to maintain things for Diablo and whatnot. And, you know, it's really hard for a lot of these games to be able to go fully independent anymore. And that's why you have so many AAA studios. Or even how Microsoft is like, yeah, we don't own these studios. The coalition is like a partnership. Microsoft's just acting like an MCM. Or how Rooster Teeth now has a games division. Yeah, they've published two games of their own underneath the Rooster Teeth Games banner. Ruby's finally getting some DLC. Love you. Mm-hmm. That was made by a fan. That was originally a
was
fan.
It a mod?
No. The fan built it from the ground up.
Well, shit. Well, Grim Eclipse was a fan game.
That's what
with.
I'm talking about.
I thought you were talking about the DLC.
Yeah, Grim Eclipse was a fan-made game built from the ground up.
I remember seeing the like the alpha version of their build way back when. I thought, wow, this would be a fucking awesome game. A couple years later, Ruby Grimlock was like, oh, it's a game.
Yeah, and now he's working on an FPS with Rooster Teeth. But Jetlock. Like Rooster Teeth is also, it's a fully
new IP.
Yeah, new IP.
Jetlock Titanfall.
But like, you know, I think it's interesting that we're moving into the stage where, yes, you develop game, we partner. Like, I'm still with Gary Whitta here on the fact that EA kind of has shit the bed with the Star Wars franchise. You know, they just axed the Old Republic last year, I think. Like, they fully turned off servers.
Did they?
Or they're not supporting the game anymore.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, this game that is 100%, or this franchise that's 100% built on lore intertwined with action, and they released one game that had no lore. It's like, look, you get to play your favorite moments in the Star Wars universe. Okay, Star Wars is a story. Second game comes out. You get to play all of these different stories. Here's a story that we rushed in development, and it was pretty darn predictable, but here's a book to back it up. Okay. But like 5 years and you only make two games? Like, I like Square. Or no, I like how Marvel does their games division.
Where they're just kind of licensing out things.
You want to do a game for us? Cool. Square, you want to do an Avengers game? Go for it. We don't have a timeline right now.
Which, if we don't see it, if we don't see anything about that of the Avengers game this year, I'm going to be worried.
Yeah,
like, we haven't seen anything
since
from
announcement.
It. Yeah, it's been almost 3 years.
But it's like, oh, cool. We're doing any Marvel Ultimate Alliance. We still got Marvel Capcom.
No, they don't.
No,
Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite bombed. So oh, it's yeah. kind of.
Sorry, I forgot about the Glorious Eggs that was released.
Yeah. Egg. I wanted Infinite to be good. But...
In Chun-Li's face.
It wasn't that bad. I don't know what the fuck people are talking about.
Marvel Omega
great, though.
Existed for a while and then got axed, which is kind of sad. But it was like, we didn't, you know, where people wanted a Marvel dungeon crawler. They wanted Ultimate Alliance, not Omega at the time. But it's, I think the only way EA is really, other than like whatever Fallen Order is going to be, the only way EA can win me back on Star Wars, if Fallen Order is good, or if at next E3 they go KOTOR 3.
That would have to
be ballsy.
They wouldn't.
I don't know if they will, because
BioWare
probably for the foreseeable future will be Anthem and Dragon Age
well,
in the background.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, if Anthem does well, they transfer to support the live team, which Destiny does. They have the dev team, and then they have the live team that supports it. Theory, they do that, then a lot of the main development team goes over to Dragon Age, and then we get that noticeable time frame.
Even better, Star Wars license goes, Microsoft approaches them, we have a game, Star Wars Pod Racing 2, developed by Forza.
That would be actually
fucking
cool.
I would rather a Jedi Outcast 3.
But Forza Pod Racing? Can you imagine Pod Race drifting?
You played the original Pod Racing game, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It was a hot steaming pile of doo-doo.
I didn't understand half the menus.
No, you didn't need to go to the menu. You just went to the arcade, put a dollar in the machine, and you sat in Anakin's little thing, and you're like,
"Now this is Pod Racing!"
Yeah.
Shut up, kid. You said that 10 times already.
But it is Pod Racing.
Get out of my arcade.
All right. Moving on. I don't know what happened to my notes. Did we want to talk about Kingdom Hearts at all, Steve?
The fuck is with the internet?
I don't know.
The fuck is with the internet in Kingdom Hearts 3?
What happened now?
I actually don't know.
I have a couple tweets of people.
Shoot, we have a lot of shit left.
We're almost done.
I thought we had less. I might have to get my
three things.
I have 10% battery.
Oh. You probably get a while Steve's pulling up tweets. Zach has left.
So, one person, because I only took a couple of tweets in defense of the game because of what people are saying being stupid. First one. There are no side games in Kingdom Hearts. They're just poorly named. Every game has a purpose in the story.
Right.
And it's all in the story. It's not like you can play this, but it really doesn't affect your playing three that much.
Right.
Because fucking Shion. If you don't play 3-5-8 over 2, you have no fucking clue who she is. Even if you just watch the movie. I can't play them because they're on all different consoles. Argument doesn't work anymore. Since you can play everything before 3 on PS4 for $40. Stop looking for dumb shit to complain about for internet points. It's fucking true. My follow-up is... I'm assuming the tweet before was about, if you want to understand the story of the game, you have to play the other games before. Someone's response, there's your problem. If you have to play all the past games to enjoy the current one, then it's not a good game.
Wait. You have to play all of the other games for the third game of the trilogy.
In the same concurrent story.
To enjoy the current one, yes.
To a degree... I can understand where this person's coming from. Like, BioWare does an amazing job of playing standalone sequel games. Dragon Age Origins, Inquisition, and 2, not really intertwined too much together. But if you only play
Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
If you haven't played Mass Effect 2 and 1.
You could get away with not playing one. It's difficult, but you could get away with
it. Even on 3, though, they have a menu for watch these 8 videos that we put out on YouTube. Weeks before the game came out, we put them on this disc for you too. Watch these to get the rundown of the story.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, to a degree, I can understand this feasibility of not playing the others. But even if you're like, all right, Halo 5, who the fuck is Master Chief? What the fuck is a Cortana? Why do I care so much? I don't get this. This is stupid. It's like, what argument does this person think they're trying to make?
The winning response of the internet this week was someone replying to them. People like you are the reason we see Batman's parents die in every movie because you don't understand the concept of sequels.
See, that's so close to my favorite insults in the world. People like you are the reason why there's 2 windows at the drive-thru. That's my favorite insult. Because it's like, I don't get it, and you never will. You'll never understand.
But, like, even Dragon Age, if you only played Inquisition, but you knew that there was 2 in Origins, why the fuck wouldn't you at least look up, hey, are these interconnected?
Who the fuck is Varric, and why does everyone care about him so much?
Who's this hawk guy that just showed up?
Why are Varric and Cassandra bickering all the time?
Am I supposed to watch the movie that leads up before this?
I don't know. Maybe you should do a little research. It's not that fucking hard, people.
People are like you. Or why we had to watch Batman's parents. That's amazing.
It's like jumping into Star Wars episode 7 and being like, who the fuck are all these people?
It amazes me that people are not willing to either, you know, it's the fucking meme of, I don't know who this is and I'm too afraid to ask at this point. It's like, yes, you could fucking Andy Google approach. Half of this. Like, it's not that hard nowadays.
Do you understand the concept of a 3 after a title?
Okay.
But here's the hard truth, champ. 2 and 1 came before.
But here's the thing. There's 2 different anthology of games that can screw this person up. Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest.
Fuck. You're not wrong.
Those games are anthology games. I will admit. But it's like, oh shit, do I play Kingdom Hearts 365 days over 2 after Kingdom Hearts 3?
You fool. It's 385 over 2 days. Come on.
Oh, so I had to play all of them.
Or 358 over 2.
Over 2 days. Got it.
Or just watch the fucking hour-long movie that comes on 1.5. They did that for you, people.
So wait. See, this guy reminds me of me in third grade, where I read the 4th Harry Potter book. That was the only one I've read. And I was just about halfway through this book.
Who the fuck is Dumbledore?
Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, why is Dumbledore mentioning things that happened last year? Is there going to be a flashback in this book? And then I take the goddamn accelerated reader test, pass with flying colors, and my librarian just goes, oh, honey, you realize there's more books. I'm like, oh, fuck. Except I did say, oh, fuck, because I was 9.
Oh, fiddlesticks. Like,
so there's stuff that happens after Goblet of Fire. And she goes, yes, dear, but there's three books that came before it. And I'm like, hot damn. What the shit?
Who the fuck is Vilberwort?
I'm trying to picture a 9-year-old Zach saying all these things.
Hot damn. My mind was blown that day. Just like this guy was like, holy fuck, there's Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of the thing that made me go like, what? There was a sequel or there was something before this?
Witcher.
No, I knew it was Witcher 3.
But books.
The books are, there's like a set, there's like a machete order and then there's the release order. It's not that hard to look that up. It's like, what order should I read these in?
Maybe this guy's real fucked by the Fast and Furious films. Like, you can go into those and don't give a shit about continuity.
But no, even at the same time, though, the franchise can fuck you up because you're like, all right, so clearly, Fast comes before Fast and Furious, right?
So you're going to be real mad about this.
What?
So you know how James Cameron's directing the new Terminator film, right?
Uh-huh.
The tentative title is Dark Fate. If you take into account Terminator 1, Terminator 2, Terminator 2 3D, which was the game, I think, Terminator Genesis, mm-hmm. Sarah Connor Chronicles, or no, Judgment Day, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Terminator 2 was Judgment Day.
Oh no, what was the third film?
Terminator 3.
I think it was just, really?
Terminator. It was Terminator T2 Judgment Day, Terminator 3.
Okay.
So then there was Terminator Salvation, which was the fast forward to when John Connor was fighting the Resistance. Then Terminator Genesis. Sarah Connor Chronicles came before
T2.
Genesis.
Right.
No. Well,
it came before
chronologically
Salvation.
In the story.
Okay.
Yes. Sarah Connor Chronicles came before T2 Genesis.
So here's the thing now. With the new film, this is going to be the 8th installment. So we literally have Dark Fate.
No, you do not beat the Fast Furious. So, Fate of the Furious, you leave that alone. That was their idea.
So you know what's even screwier? James Cameron looks at this.
F8.
Fuck all of this. Dark Fate is a direct sequel to 2. Which, in my opinion, is a good move.
But at the same time, it just means that everything else they've tried at before afterwards
However,
is not good.
At this
Which
point,
is
no,
true.
At this point,
Salvation's
now,
okay.
But no, at this point now, he's kind of fucked himself already. Genesis rewrote the timeline.
And so this is the new...
So T2 didn't exist.
So
how is he doing a sequel to T2 if the movie they released before made T2 not exist?
But how did... So he's taking the Halloween approach where it's like, Halloween happened 27 years later. Here's Halloween.
It's like there's three different timelines now.
And, you know, you can't even make the thing. It's like, man, once they added time travel, the movie franchise became real screwed. No, time travel is in the first film.
The whole
film
movie
franchise
involves
time travel.
On time travel.
And I can't wait for Fast and the Furious to use time travel. Because yeah, that's the only logical thing to happen
it's
now.
Oh my God.
When they drift the moon. I know it. I know how they do it too. They make an 88 mile an hour reference like, no man, faster. And then they like fucking blur off into oblivion.
They're faster and furious.
Yeah. They're going to drift the moon, but they have to drift so fast that it opens a wormhole.
Oh my
that
God,
sends them was... back. And then they're going to run into young Dom stealing DVD players. Be like, we have to talk.
All right, so
I thought you were gonna say they were gonna go
and
with
that
Superman.
Line was never said in the films. It's the greatest line. Not today.
But first, let's have a Corona.
Anyways,
If there's one thing I know about Dominic Toretto, he likes his Corona. He's a Corona man.
So Dark Fate looks real cool, and it has the OG Sarah Connor in the film.
Damn,
like the original actress. Yeah. So I'm really. And I didn't know she was married to James Cameron for a while, too.
Yes.
So it's really cool that T2 holds a special place in my heart. Because, okay, sure enough, I was that person that saw T2 and thought that was the only one when I was a kid.
But it's T2 Judgment Day.
But when it's like, you have the stupid little paper cable guide, it's like, oh, Terminator Judgment Day, sweet.
And then when Sarah Connor shows up, be like, everything changed when the Terminator showed up.
And that made perfect sense because they set it up in the exposition. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm sold.
And then my son, who is a paradox because my husband came back in time to make my son. But the only reason that my son, or that Kyle Reese was able to come back, was because my son existed and helped made the time travel technology. But then they sent Kyle Reese back, but then Kyle Reese helped make my son, and then my son was the one who made the technology that sent Kyle Reese back.
But your son died and became a Terminator.
Steve, careful, you're getting trapped in a loop, you're gonna have a crash.
And then Genesis, where John Connor died and became nanobots, because there was also Matt Smith Terminator. Matt Smith Terminator was evil.
What? Was he in Genesis?
Uh-huh.
Is that why I did? Okay, that's why I didn't know about that. It was like, oh, I heard it was real bad.
It was good. If you disregard Terminator 1.
Anything else?
3. I'll even give 3. Salvation was not good. Christian Bale, you yelled at that man about your lights for nothing.
But if you think, I'm not defending Christian Bale. But, like, think about an actor who has to, like, ramp themselves up for this really highly emotional scene. And he's sitting there, and he's in character, and he's crying. And then, you know, the guy fucks up the lights. I would be emotional, too. And it's like, God damn it. I have to capture that mind space again. I don't know.
Yeah. But what if I come up and fucked your lights up? I wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it!
Is he British?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, hardcore.
Christian Bale is super British.
I don't think I've ever heard him speak outside of movies.
Is he Scottish? I thought he was super British.
Or Welsh.
He's UK.
Okay. I actually didn't know that.
He pulls off a great Batman.
Debatable.
Sorry, Bruce Wayne.
Right, thank you.
Okay. So, second to last piece of news. Actually, the last piece of news and the last thing is something else. Rat Queens is coming to HyperRPG, the exclusive YouTube channel and Twitch streaming channel. Shout out to you, Power Rangers Hyperforce. They got their first exclusive look. Hyper RPG, aka Hyper Rabbit Power Go, is bringing Rat Queens to the interactive tabletop. Hannah, Betty, Braga, Violet, and Dee are all ready to start adventuring under the guidance of Game Master Emily Rose Jacobson, and we couldn't be more excited to see what madness this group of mercs get up to. For those unfamiliar with Rat Queens, the series focuses on the hilarious and always up-for-action group of mercenaries who will take care of the most difficult situations if it means profits, though more than often than not, they get way more than they bargain for. Just like Fallout Boy. I made a Fallout Boy joke.
What is that? And yet you don't know the actual lyrics to the chorus.
Am I more than I bargained for?
No. More than you bargained for? Yes.
I still don't know the lyrics.
But I know what your songs did in the dark.
Is it Them or Panic that has like a novel length title?
Both
okay. of them.
Anyways.
It depends on the day.
Rat Queens creator Curtis Weib.
I think it's Weib.
Weib is also working with HyperRPG on the live play series and couldn't be more thrilled to see what the interactive tabletop genre can do with these amazing characters. I'm really excited to see what this amazing team performance brings to the characters and the Rat Queens universe. Weib said, our series is at a place now where we're able to open the heroes up to new creators in both the comic and in other mediums as well. With my recently announced departure from writing the series, it's genuinely thrilling to see a brand new team tackle the comic. You didn't know he left?
No.
Oh.
What?
And
when was this?
Also enter into a new medium that we've never expected, live streaming RPG. I have full trust that Emily and her team will bring the queens to life and make them more interesting, Zach's Googling, than I could have. Honestly, it's just a fantastic time to be a Rat Queens fan. The cast includes Jessica Lynn Verdi from Flip the Script podcast and Ripley Improv as Hannah.
What the fuck?
And the belligerent elven mage, Laurie Jones, who did Wishbone Theater and Ripley Improv as Violet. The dwarven fighter with a distaste for traditions and beards, Aliza Pearl, from Nerdist and Geek and Sundry as Dee, a former cultist who's fallen out of love with her gods, and Michelle Wynn Bradley from Hyper Rabbit Power Go and Senpai Buddies podcast as Betty, an overly friendly halfling whose fuel induces candy, drugs, and booze. And the adventurers are later joined by Braga, a transgender orc who eschews the barbaric ways of her kind, played by Riley Silverman from Sci-Fi Fangirls and Nerdist. I like the cast. A lot of these people are pretty sweet. And I this gives me another tabletop show to watch.
Yeah. I want to give it a shot. It's just going to be a matter of which one's going to get behind this or Critical Role. Because they take, sometimes I get like, I get real behind on both of them.
Yeah. I know with Hyperforce, a lot of their videos were like 3 hours.
Okay. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Because Critical Role can go up to 4.
They go between 2.5 and 4.
Usually,
Depending on...
Unless it's like a giant battle, then it can go to 4.5 sometimes.
Oh, God.
Very rarely,
the final battle went to 5, I think, in the first campaign.
And one of the cool things that I really liked about Hyperforce, and I'm not sure if they would be able to do with this, is just be like, look, here's guest stars in our world. Which they do a really great job at, because Hyperforce is like, yeah, let's just get the other Power Rangers to come back. And either they're really good at RPG or they're not.
Jason David Frank learned about halfway through his first episode.
The one that wasn't great for me was...
Andros.
Yeah, Christopher Cayley. My Jin did a great job. And he did some more stuff with Hyper RPG after like the horror anthology series that they did.
Yeah.
16 Candles. But yeah, shout out to Rack Queens.
Also, you were talking to me about it. Like, you weren't sure if it's like, are they role-playing the characters or are they role-playing the characters playing a D&D campaign? Yeah.
So it seems like they're role-playing these characters inside of the world of Rack Queens.
I mean, you imagine they established that very, very like immediately, if not early on.
Critical Role do a episode where those their characters role playing other characters?
It was Grog's one shot was them role playing themselves, playing themselves in Dungeons and Dragons. Sorry, Bunions and Flagons. Because Grog picked it up in a tavern and brought it to them. So
much like all D&D adventures.
So they were playing themselves. Playing D&D.
All right. So the last piece that we have for tonight is a recommendation, because we haven't done those in forever. And I actually just recently picked up this book called Hey Kiddo by Jarrett J. Krasowska. And the subtitle is How I Lost My Mother, Found My Father, and Dealt with Family Addiction. So the back of it, in preschool, Jarrett Krasowska's teacher asked him to draw his family with a mommy and a daddy. But Jarrett's family was much, much more complicated than that. His mom was an addict, in and out of rehab and in and out of Jarrett's life. His father was a mystery. Jarrett didn't know where to find him or even what his name was. Jarrett was living with his grandparents, two very brash, very loving, very opinionated people who had thought they were through with raising children until Jarrett came along. Now Jarrett's a teenager. He's gone through his childhood trying to make his non-normal life as normal as possible, finding a way to express himself through art, despite the fact that he's grown up in a house where many things have remained unsaid. It's only when he's old enough to have his driver's license that Jarrett can begin to piece together the truth of his family, reckoning with his mother, tracking down his father, and finding his own identity. So the book is a memoir. I picked it up because I was looking for some different kind of nonfiction things while I was at Barnes & Noble today, and I found this kind of in the young reader, young adult section. It's written allegedly at like a third grade level, but has like some really foul language, like slut, whore, prostitute, and whatnot. Fuck. Because I'm looking for other books to have in my classroom, and I was like, maybe if you're on this one right now. But so far I like it. Jarrett J. Krasowska did all the writing and the art himself. He's famous for doing the Star Wars Academy kids books, which are like, oh, here's if these young little kids grew up in a Jedi Academy. And he also has like the Lunch Lady versus whatever book series for, aimed towards kids. But this is a really real look at his life and growing up and how his grandparents fought to keep him away from his mother legally because she was a junkie and there's a lot of stuff. I'm only like 2 chapters into it, so I'm really interested to see how the rest of it goes. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm really digging like this new wave of like, oh, graphic novel memoirs. Like George Takei just did one recently. And I don't know. I think I need something a little more grounded from superheroes for a little bit right now. I think that's why I love Naomi from Brian Michael Bendis.
What? You're not going to pick up a Magical Beatdown?
I'm going to. I just couldn't find it.
It's fucking incredible.
Just the whole line.
Fuck. It's another Magical Girl.
I feel like that's what you guys think every time I'm like, hey, we should watch this anime.
Yeah, it's not in Comixology either.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. Like yeah, the opening.
Where did fucking Chibsarsky find this?
I don't know. The opening of this memoir is Jarrett learning to drive in a cemetery just because his grandfather goes, well, you can't kill anyone if they're already dead. Ha, 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 ha. And he's sitting there reflecting on his life where his grandparents were like, yeah, we already got a burial plot just so you don't have to deal with it later. Oh, and he's sitting there thinking, it's like, oh, would I get buried closer to my grandparents? Would I get buried close to my mom? I don't even know where she is right now. And it's just like, oh, kid. Hey, kiddo. I really like it for the quick half hour I've read it. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't know. Cool.
Give it a shot if you're looking for something different and new. And I think that brings us to a close, guys. Steve, do you have any last words?
Marmalade.
See, I was really hoping you'd say schmooble.
Shenanigans. Farvig Nugan.
Ah, three last words. Zach, do you have any last words?
Shaboopy.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to a close. So I really should get an outro. Like, there's the consistent beat. Like, I got welcome to a brand new episode. Like,
I don't know,
the fuck out of a brand new episode. Of this YouTube
I don't know
podcast.
How we haven't had a recorded closing at this point.
Why don't we do that? I'm tired of coming up with things on the fly.
A pre-record, one that just fades out or something?
Just one that, goes over all of the where can you find us.
The pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Because it's the same thing repeated over and over.
Well, maybe we can get work on that.
All right, we'll get our script writers on it. Steve, you messed up on the script at, minute 48, yeah. By the way.
Should I get those notes?
Yeah, nope. I see the footnotes now.
Yeah, the tiny script.
Yep.
That's actually why I had to walk away. I lost page 3 of my script. So I had to come up with a backup.
We had to ad lib while we go over the next pages. That's why it took me so long to continue. I was flipping through fuck. Okay, we're here. I can't believe we missed the whole musical segment.
That's my favorite meme. It's just scripted.
Everything's scripted.
Something's too good to be true that it had to be scripted.
Yeah, there was one thing like the Game Grumps Power Hour there. They do a little live thing where they just do stupid activities. And someone comments on one of the first ones, I like these, but I wish they weren't so scripted. Are you fucking kidding me? If there was a script for this, it would say Dan and Aaron build Legos, and then 30 pages of blank.
So, thank you guys for listening to your brand new episode of the ZZ Podcast. Oh, that was going to be the intro, because this is episode 151. That's all the original Pokemon. Fuck! That's what it was! I remember!
We finally pushed the truck.
This is 152, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
God damn it. Thanks for listening to a brand new episode.
Then we could have done Johto. It's a whole new world we live in.
I want to eat my chili.
Thanks for listening to your brand new episode, guys. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, where we're both very active. You can also reach us at
ztubepodcast.com/comment.
And you can we'll read your comments live on air. As of this moment, I don't think anyone mentioned anything. If not, it's too late because it's my bedtime. And thank you guys for always listening. You make sure you tell a friend and they tell a friend, and that's our grand pyramid scheme of listening. We try to do everything as organic as possible. We don't pay for ads. We're all broke. And leave us a rating on iTunes, Google Play, Google Podcasts. Subscribe to us on any major podcasting website, because that'll help us in the magical algorithm. And one day when you look up Z2, we might be the third ranked thing behind Z2 Comics and Baby Metal. Published by Z2 Comics. Is that everything? Oh, go check out Brendan Kreese on Facebook. We shared his page earlier. He just had a lovely newborn daughter, and he needs some money to help pay for things. He has an amazing Darth Vader that, if none of you buy it, I probably will very soon. It looks real good. This is when that was one of the comics that was stolen out of the back of his car too, which was terrible.
Damn.
And that's everything. So love you, internet. Bye.